Morning. Today's daf Menachos, daf Tes, we are in Chesam and Beis. We are starting today with the words Gufa. It's right in the middle of the Amud. We're going back to a point that we were discussing yesterday. Let's jump right into the Gemara. Gufa, Amar Rav Elazar, Mincha Shekamtza BeHeichal. So if the Kemitza of a Karban Mincha was done in the Heichal. So a number of times in the course of yesterday's daf, the Gemara has us in the Heichal, doing Avoda in the Heichal. As we already pointed out, that's unusual. It's not the right place to do the Avoda. The appropriate place to do Avoda is in the Azara. So, but still... the discussion of the Gemara is what if? What if the mincha was nikmetzes, the kemitza was taken off inside of the heichal? So according to Rav Elazar, it's kshera. Mincha would be fine. She came atzina b'stilk b'zichin, and we have and it's precedented, as we already discussed now numerous times. The lechem upon him in the heichal, which is placed on the shulchan in the heichal, is a mincha. It's a has a characteristic of a mincha. There's one point of an anomaly regarding the lechem upon him, and that of course is that its kemitza is the shtei bazichin. It's the two spoonfuls of lavona that sits on top of the two columns of the lechem upon him. But short of that, it's a mincha, and so since it's a mincha that is taken off in the heichal, so that means that you can now transfer and translate this to a standard mincha. A standard mincha, you can do the kemitza inside of the heichal. Good. That's the statement of Rav Elazar, Mesa Rav Yirmiyah. When Rav Yirmiyah hears this, so he challenges based on the following. We saw this already. We get to see it again. V'kamatz misham. So the Braisa starts off with kemitza. The Torah says v'kamatz misham, from there. What does that mean, from there? So mimakam shorag le'azar omdos. So according to the Tanakhama, it means that wherever the Yisrael is standing. Now, we already pointed out that in the Azara, so a Yisrael can walk into the Azara, but even then, he still is circumscribed. He can only walk for the first 11 amas, going from the eastern gate of the Nikanor gate, 11 amas westbound. So that's basically where the Yisrael should go, and no further than that point in time. So the point of the Braisa is v'kamatz misham, meaning the owner of the minchas, you know, it could be Yisrael, doesn't have to be, but it could be Yisrael, and the kemitza is done from there, meaning wherever the Yisrael is standing, even though we are in the 11 amas that is most eastern of the Azara, so still, the kemitza can be done over there. And Ben Becerra, I mean, then the Braisa brings in the opinion of Ben Becerra. Now, quite frankly, for us, the opinion of Ben Becerra is not relevant to our discussion, but we're bringing in the Braisa. We're going to quote the whole Braisa. Ben Becerra, I mean, Minayin Shein Kamatz B'Smol Shiachzav, He Kamatz B'Yamin. Let's say kemitza was done with the left hand, which cannot be done with the left hand, meaning it has to be done with the right hand. So we saw already a machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Ben Becerra. Here, the Braisa is just giving the position of Ben Becerra, but using the same pasuk to explain how he arrives at that conclusion from the pasuk. So if you do the kemitza with your left hand, not so bad. Just take it, put it back into the mincha, and then redo kemitza with your right hand. So tam lomer v'kamatz misham, and he actually gains it from the pasuk, because v'kamatz misham means to say mimakum shekamatz kvar, from the place where your kemitza was already once done. Fine. And again, for our discussion, Ben Becerra's point is not relevant to this discussion. It's really the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, where can you do kemitza? The Tanakhama says you can even do it in the 11 amas that is most eastern of the Azara. Now, if you think about what the Tanakhama is saying, he basically is saying, where can I do kemitza? In the Azara. But that's it. I can only do it in the Azara. I can't do it anywhere else, meaning I can't do it in the Heichal. So a simple reading of the Tanakhama would seem to indicate that you cannot do kemitza in the Heichal, and that goes against what Rav Elazar taught us. So, Igadami, who most of love, umafarikla. Now, two versions of how the answer is provided. There's an answer that's coming. Either Rav Yirmiyah himself asked a question and answered his own question, and Igadami, amalei Rav Yaakov le Rav Yirmiyah, or another version has it that Rav Yaakov says to Rav Yirmiyah, bar tachlifa, hey, bar tachlifa, which I guess is the way he refers to Rav Yirmiyah, asbar lach, I'll explain to you. But, okay, whoever gives the answer goes like this. Lo nitzricha, ela lahachshir es kol azar kula. No. In other words, the truth of the matter is that you could do kemitza in the Azara. You could also do it in the Heichal as well. And the only point the Braisa wants us to make sure that we understand is that the entire Azara area is eligible to be doing the kemitza. Why would I have thought otherwise? Braisa goes on to explain. Shelo tamar ho v'ola kache kadashim v'mincha kache kadashim. Because consider the following. An ola falls under the category of Kodesh Kadashim, so does a mincha. Ma ola tunat safon, af mincha tunat safon. Now we know that the carbon ola has to be done in the north. In fact, that's one of the most basic definitions of being Kodesh Kadashim, is where it is shechted. It is shechted on the north side of the Azara. Hence, I would have thought, it's a legitimate havamina, that the mincha can only, the kemitza of the mincha can only be done in the north side of the Azara. Mala Ola Shekein Kalo, the Gemara says, even as a Havamina. Why would we have thought that? Ola Mincha, totally different. Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. That's not true by a Mincha. Now, it's true that some Menachos are burnt totally on the Mizbeach. The Mincha of a Kohen is burnt totally on the Mizbeach. Okay, but still, a standard Mincha offered by non-Kohanim are only burnt, the Kemitz is only burnt on the Mizbeach. So you really can't compare a mincha to an ola. So the Gemara says, mechatas, well, why don't we compare it to a chatas? So because a chatas is not totally burnt on the mizbeach, only the imurim go on the mizbeach, the dam goes on the mizbeach, but the rest of the chatas is eaten by kohanim, just like the mincha. And the chatas is shecht in the north, so therefore the kemitza of the mincha should be done north, right? The Gemara says, no, malachat shkeim mechaperas achavi krisus. No, chatas is fundamentally different. It provides kapara. That's not true by a mincha. Me'asham, the Gemara says, well, why don't we learn it out from asham? So mala asham shekein mine damim. So the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, you know what asham is? It's an animal. It's a protein. It's not the carbs. So mikulo nami shekein mine damim. The Gemara says, and the truth of the matter is that we're going to say the exact same thing for every of the other carbonates we just mentioned. Ola, chatas, they're mine damim. So you can't compare a mincha to a carbon. So what's the havamina? Why would I have thought that a mincha? Why does the Bryce have to tell me that you can even do the kmitz of the mincha? Even in the Ezras Yisrael, even the section of the Azara that is earmarked for the Yisrael. Sakadat Chamin, a whole. Uksi vihikriva el hakoin vihigisha el amizbech. Well, we are, as we already pointed out a number of times in this Masech, that we have something special by a mincha, which is called Hagasha. Before the kmitza is done, so the mincha, the bowl with the mincha in it, is going to be taken to the southwest portion of the mizbech and actually make contact with the southwest portion of the mizbech. And now think about it. Now what's the Torah say? V'kamatz misham. And do kemitza there. Oh, so now, here's a good havamina. I might have thought the Gemara spells it out. V'kamatz. Ma hagasha b'keren dromis ma'aravis. Av kemitza nami b'keren dromis ma'aravis. Now we're working with a good havamina. So now, since the kemitza falls the hagasha, and since the hagasha is done, where it's brought to the southwest corner of the mizbech, I might have thought, good, hagasha, check. Now where do I do the kemitza? V'kamatz misham. Right here. And I might have thought the kemitza has to be done in the southwest corner. That's the Havamina and Kamash Milan. And that's what the Bryson wants to make sure that we understand. That as far as the kemitza is concerned, the entire Azara becomes eligible for kemitza. And the point is not to exclude the Heichal. The point is just simply that I might have thought that kemitza is just limited to the southwest corner. It's not. Gufa. We're going to go back to another point that we made earlier in yesterday's daf. Amar Rav Yochanan. Shlamim, sheshachtim, behechol ksherim. If I take a carbon shlamim, shechtim the hechol, so that would be kasher. And again, it's an unusual place to shecht a carbon shlamim. Carbon shlamim is to shechtim the azara. The requirement by the carbon shlamim is they have to shechtim the azara to where it has a vantage point to the Ohel Moed. There has to be, you have to be able to see Ohel Moed, right? The Torah keeps repeating, Pesach Ohel Moed. So the Gemara's point is going to be like this. Shenemer v'shachtu Pesach Ohel Moed, v'lo yeitafu chamor min ha'ikar. And so the argument that we made, or Rav Yochanan made, in terms of why Shlamim is acceptable to be shechted in the Heichal, is because, consider, if I need to see the Heichal when shechting the Karmish Shlamim, now just imagine if I'm actually in the Heichal. So obviously the Heichal now becomes the Iker, and the Azara in this regard becomes now the Tafel. Don't tell me, says Rav Yochanan, that the halacha demands that I have to see the heichal when shechting the shlamim. Oh, but if I'm actually in the heichal, it doesn't work? Right? It seems to be illogical. So therefore, you can shecht both in the azara, when you're seeing inside the Ohel Moed, and also actually in the Ohel Moed itself. Meishveh, the Gemara challenges Rav Yehuda ben Mesir Omer, minan shim hikifo of dikochav mes azara, shekohanim nechnasim laheichal va'ochlim bekotche kadashim, v'shayar minachos. This brisa, we've seen this brisa back in Zvachim, we're seeing it again. And really an unusual circumstance, historical circumstance, where the Azara is being surrounded by Goyim, and the Kohanim now are retreating, and at the same time, they're also concerned about eating Karbanos. Like, in other words, admittedly, historically, certainly an interesting point of time. The point that Bryson wants to make is that they can eat their Chatas and Asham in the actual Heichal itself. Meaning because even though they're not in the Azara, and even though they're retreating into the Heichal, and one could certainly entertain the idea that the Heichal is not an appropriate place to eat. You could certainly entertain that idea, but the Bryce is saying that they can. They can eat in the Heichal. And the ochlim mekachek kadoshim v'shayim nechas tamad lamar. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that arrives at, that helps us arrive at this conclusion as we are now on the top of Tesamad Aleph. But kodesh kadoshim tochlena. And Rashi points out, you look over there in Parshas Korach and look at the context over there. La'el min eksiv, Rashi writes above. It says in Parshas Korach, I'm reading on the top Rashi, l'chol chatzasam l'chol ashama. Meaning contextually, we're talking about chatzas and asham. And it says, "Bekodesh Hakadoshim Tochlan." You can eat it, even eat it in Kodesh Hakadoshim. Now, a simple reading of the pasuk. Now I'm going to really take it to what seems to be the conclusion. Although I don't know, I'm not sure if it's obvious, is that you can even eat it while you're in Kodesh Hakadoshim. Now that seems to be saying a lot. In other words, I'd be a lot more comfortable just simply saying they can eat in the Heichal, but to go all the way in Kodesh HaKadoshim where you're only allowed to go with one time a year and only one person is allowed to go in there one time a year?
When you can't eat.
Okay, right. excellent point. Okay, anyway. I don't know. I wish I knew the Torah well enough to answer that. I don't know. Okay, v'halam alikra leima b'chatzar olamo yachlua v'lo yei tafel chamar min ha'ikar. But the Gemara says, okay, listen, here's my question. Meaning, let's go with that argument that Rav Yochanan gave just a moment ago. If the Kohanim can eat their chatzas and asham in the azara, so lo yehei tafel chamar min ha'ikar. Well, don't let the tafel, meaning again, everything here is relative. Don't let the azara become a stronger point than the actual heichal. If the Kohanim are eating in the Azar, for sure they can eat in the Heichal, right? And why didn't the Braisa give that argument? And what the Gemara now is suggesting is because it's not a good argument. But the Gemara points out, no, the argument is a good argument. It's just a question of where to apply the argument. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Avoda, third line down. Avoda de Adam Oved b'makom rabo amrin shalei tafach min ha'ikar. In the previous discussion, Rav Yochanan's discussion, we're talking about doing the Kemitza. Kemitza obviously is an Avoda. So where do I do avoda? Now we could talk about ikar v'tafel, meaning doing the avoda in the azara, good. Doing the avoda in the heichal, well, in other words, you're so to say closer to the master, and okay, so it's just as appropriate, even maybe even more appropriate place to do the avoda. But now we're talking about achila, meaning eating. Where's an appropriate place to eat? Right, there are places that are appropriate to eat and places that are not. Achil sheina democha b'makom rabo time to kasa kra halo kasa kra lo yitef tafel min ikar lo amrina. So when we're talking about eating karbanos, so one would not use the argument of lo yitef tafel chamer min ikar because we're talking about eating. I would say without the Torah, I would have said the azar is an appropriate place to eat in the heichal. So you wouldn't find an eved just sitting down at the table eating together with his rav, with his master. So without the pasuk, I would not have made the argument, well, you can eat in the azar, or for sure you can eat in the heichal. Okay, itmar. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to be seeing a number of machloks in between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So on this daf alone, on Tesamad Aleph, on this amud alone, we're going to see three machloksim between the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. Issue number one, itmar. Bila chutzah l'chomas azara. Let's say you do the belila outside of the walls of the azara. Okay, the anatomy of a mincha. A mincha is, generally speaking, made up of flour and oil. Now, by the way, we're going to neglect the water most of the time, meaning there's water that goes also into a mincha, but the exciting parts, the exciting ingredients are the flour and the oil. The flour and oil and the water comes in at a later point in time. Procedurally, I'm sure the Gemara later on will give us much more details which I've already forgotten, but we'll come back to that later. But in the meantime, however, the putting together the flour and the oil, so you're going to see two terms that describe the flour and the oil getting mixed together. You're going to see the word term yitzika, and you're going to see the word belila. And for now, just to clarify those two terms, the yitzika is the first oil that goes into the bowl on the bottom. Then flour is put on top of it, and then oil is put on top of that, and then they're mixed together. So that's you'll see terms yitzika and belila. It's just a question of when which oil is going in at what point in time. But anyway, right now, for our purposes, we could just say it's nice and simple. Oil and flour getting blended together, which is the composition of the mincha. Can it be done outside of the azara? Now, one point which the Gemara does not discuss, I'll just mention it, but it's an important point, is that generally speaking, this is done in a kli sharis. Now, you're not taking a kli sharis generally outside of the azara. So I admit that part's a little bit tricky, and and the Gemara doesn't discuss it. I mentioned it. Okay. But here's the basic point of the Gemara. Is it subject to any kind of disqualification if the Belila is done outside of the Azara? And probably we're talking about the Psul of Yotzei. So Rav Yochanan Amar Psula, Rish Lakish Amar Kshera. So Machlok is between the Amarayim. Rav Yochanan says it's disqualified. Rish Lakish says it's not disqualified. Rish Lakish Amar Kshera, Dechziva Yasek Allah Hashemen, V'nasan Allah Lavona, because let's follow the order in the Torah as the Torah walks us through the Mincha. The Torah says that first you pour oil, then you put on V'nasan Allah Lavona, then you put on Lavona, V'hadar, V'avio El B'nei Aaron HaKohanim V'kamatz. So a simple reading of the Pesukim would seem to indicate that the Belila is a preparatory stage, but it's not yet qualified as a Voda. The only time that it qualifies as a Voda is after the Belila, then you present it to the Kohanim to do the Kemitza. Mi Kemitza ve'elach mitzvah kahuna. From Kemitza and onward, so that is the mitzvah of Kahuna, and not any time prior to that. Limit al Yitzika u'Belila shiksharim bizar. So that means to say that Yitzik and Belila can be done by non-Kohen. And now listen to the logic ladder of the Gemara. Umi dekohunu lo baye, pinim nami lo baye. Well, if I don't need a Kohen to do that, to do those sections of the Mincha, well, then I don't even need to be in the Azara as well. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think about that argument of the Gemara, you realize it's a hard argument to understand. Let's move over to a carbon. Let's talk about what we know about Shechita. Do I need a Kohen to do Shechita? The answer is unequivocally no, I don't. Does Shechita have to be done in the Azara? And the answer is unequivocally yes. So the argument that the Gemara just passed by us, that, well, if I don't need a Kohen, it doesn't have to be in the Azara. Well, that's not true by Shechita. Shechita, I don't need a Kohen, and it has to be in the Azara. So how did the Gemara just make this statement, and meanwhile, it's not true by Shechita? It's not my question. It's Tosos. Tosos, the fourth Tosos from the bottom. So it's towards the bottom of the Amud. Vim tomar, hare shechita de lo bai kohuna, bai panim. So Tosu says, so I don't understand. By shechita, I don't need a kohen, but it has to be in the Azara. So how can the Gemara say that there's a correlation between a kohen and being in the Azara? Clearly there's not. Dechziv, v'shachar is b'na b'kar l'fnei Hashem, k'dashim b'per kol ha'psulim. D'be'inan shihei b'na b'kar l'fnim. Okay, so the animal has to be inside the Azara, but the person doing the shechita doesn't have to be a kohen. So how come the Gemara isn't bothered by this? The Yesh Lama Tosos gives two suggestions. Number one, Deshani Hasam Misham Kabbalah. Maybe the answer is the shechita doesn't have to be in the Azara. But we know what's going to happen after you shech the animal. Blood's going to start spurting out. And you need to catch that blood. And that blood has to be caught by a kohen. And that has to be done in the Azara. And suggests Tosos that it's a practical issue. In other words, just simply because Kabbalah's next, and it's not next like 2 minutes later, like 5 minutes later, it's immediately next. So therefore, Shechita has to be done in the Azara. Right. So conceptually, Shechita can be done outside the Azara, but practically, Kabbalah has to be done by Kohen in the Azara. Right. I'm with you. I'm with you. Right. Just to reiterate, in other words, the Gemara quoted a drasha. So this first answer of Tosos doesn't seem to complement the drasha.
Unless it's the time of the drasha.
Okay, it could be. That's answer number one. Answer number two, inami, shekein mine damim. And Tosa says, look, as the Gemara itself, we just saw this in the Gemara, that the Gemara clearly demarcates and differentiates between menachos and zvachim. So vis-a-vis zvachim, so yes, there is no correlation between kahuna and the azara. But vis-a-vis menachos, maybe that's not true. By menachos, we'll say that there is an exact correlation, a positive correlation, between the requirement of being a Kohen and the need to be in the Azara. Okay, two suggestions of Tosfos. Back to the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar Psula. Rav Yochanan says no. If the Yitzika and the Belila were done outside the Azara, it's disqualified. Kevan. De'asiyasa b'klihu. Nehi de'kuhun alabai panim mi'a baye. Look, it's going to be done in a kli, right? Which is the point I alluded to earlier. Meaning, how is Reish Lakish going to treat that? But okay, I don't know. Right now my answer. But it needs to be done in the Kli. Since it needs to be done in the Kli Shari, so therefore it needs to be done in the Azara. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yochanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, clearly supporting the position of Rav Yochanan, Bilazar Kshera, Chutz L'chomis Azara, Psula. So if I have a non-Kohen doing the Belila, that's fine. If it's done outside of the Azara, it's disqualified. clearly reflecting the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish has no response. The Gemara doesn't defend Reish Lakish from the Braisa. We move on. Itmar. Mincha shechasra kodem kemitza. A mincha that becomes deficient, in other words, some of the flour just simply goes away. It lost. And this happens before the kemitza. So Rav Yochanan amar yavi mitoch beiso v'yemalenu. So Rav Yochanan says, all is not lost, so get more flour. Get more flour and replenish and refill flour from your house. And Reish Lakish amar lo yavi mitoch beiso v'yemalenu. And Reish Lakish says, no, you can't, it's not an option. And presumably for Reish Lakish, if it's not an option, so then you're gonna lose the mincha. Now Rav Yochanan amar yavi mitoch beiso v'yemalenu kemitza kava lei. What is the koveya vis-a-vis a mincha? The koveya is kemitza. Everything up until kemitza is preparation. And if it means to say that, okay, look, we're missing a little bit of flour right now, we'll get more. In other words, because we're still in the preparatory stages. When is it now that the mincha gets the name mincha? The word koveya, Rashi, really important Rashi over here, right? Kemitza kavalah, Rashi writes, when I say important, I meaning speaks to like a fundamental idea. Every Rashi is important. So kemitza kavala Rashi the cholkama de lo kamitz lo mikre mincha. Prior to the kemitza, it's not called a mincha. V'lo karinan be mina mincha prat le shechasra kid mefarsh lekaman. And we're going to see there's a drasha, and the drasha says that a mincha can't be deficient. But when we say a mincha can't be deficient, it means that it has to have a shem mincha. It has to have the status of mincha. And according to Rav Yochanan, that status is not obtained until you do the actual kemitza. And kol lashon kvius, and Rashi goes on to say that we're going to see this word a lot of koveya, kvius. Kol lashon kvius amar ben menachos, klamar, zakuk, ze laze, ve'ein ataya kol lashanos ksas, mimenu lahavi acher tachtav, lefisha hukvu yachad. What I would describe as basically being locked in. In other words, when you see the term koveya used in the context of mincha, it means it's now locked in. It's locked. And now, no substitution, no exchange, meaning we are now, it's go time. And that means then, from this point going forward, from the point of being Koveya and onward, so if anything now becomes deficient, it becomes disqualified. And Rav Yochanan's point is that we don't hit the point of Kvius until Kemitza is done. So Kemitza is the Koveya. Reish Lakish Amar, back to the Gemara, Reish Lakish Amar lo yavi mitoch beis av yemalenu, kedushas kli kavalei, and Reish Lakish says, I agree to the whole construct of what we just talked about. That there's a point of kviya, a koveya, and at the point of koveya, there's no turning back. And if it becomes chaser, it's simply now puzzle. What I disagree is, what's the point of koveya? Reish Lakish says, you know what the point of koveya is? When it goes into the klisharis. Going into the klisharis is the koveya. And so that means to say then, that once it goes into the klisharis, and then it becomes chaser, that's it. No substitution, no exchange, it's irreplaceable. It's called the mincha, right? In other words, according to Reish Lakish, right, based on the Rashi, it's called the mincha when it goes into the klisharis. No, you know, in other words, no. Even before the kemitza, meaning the kiddush kometz goes into a second klisharis. But over here, according to Reish Lakish, the moment that it goes into the initial klisharis, that's the koveya. That's the koveya.
You have to measure it first before you put it in.
In other words, right. We talked about measuring cups. Measuring cups also are a klisharis. We just discussed on yesterday's daf. So is that going to also be a koveya? I don't know. I don't know.
When did the flour, when did you lose the flour? After when you first cleaned?
In other words, in other words, when the oil and the flour are mixed together, which presumably is in a bowl, meaning the measuring cup is to measure the amount of flour needed, the oil is to measure the amount of oil needed, there's a measuring cup for oil, measuring how much oil is needed, and then the two of them are put together into a bowl, into a larger bowl, mixing bowl, if you will. But that's the klisharis that Reish Lakish is describing. And this is well before the point of kemitza. And the point is that that's the koveya. I don't know, by the way, right? Hedy's asking in terms of whether or not, already in the measuring bowls, are we hitting the point of kviya according to Reish Lakish? I'm not sure. Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Yeah, that's right. Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So here, once again, this discussion ends real quickly as we have a brisa. The brisa says chaser halog imashalo yatzak yimalenu. So if let's say there is a chisaron in the alog for the mitzorah, meaning this is a mishnah, it's a mishnah in Negayim dealing with the mitzorah. So if you have a chisaron in the oil and it's before the yitzika is done, before the pouring of the oil is done, remember how the procedure where the oil is poured from one kohen into the left hand of another kohen, where then he's going to dip his finger in it and apply it to the mitzvah. But if I'm missing any of the oil before the yitzika, yimalenu. So in other words, they went into a kli sharis, and you see clearly in the Mishnah Nagayim, it's not koveya, tiyufta. And again, like I said, discussion ended real quickly. The Mishnah says that just because it went into a kli sharis does not mean it's a koveya. And again, it favors the position of Rav Yochanan. Itmar. And here's a third discussion now between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Shiraim shechashu ben kemitza la'aktara. Let's say that after the kemitza is done, which according to everyone now, it's nikva, it's now, it's locked in as a mincha, so now shirayim become go missing between the kemitza and the burning of the kemitza. So the kemitza was taken off. We haven't yet, the kohen hasn't yet burned the kemitza on the top of the mizbeach, and between those two steps, so some of the mincha now goes missing. What becomes? Rav Yochanan Amar Makter Kometz Aleim. So Rav Yochanan says you're still going to burn the kemitza. And Reish Lakish Amar Ein Makter Kometz Aleim. And Reish Lakish says that you do not burn the kemitza anymore. Now, already yesterday's daf, if you listen carefully to yesterday's daf, you learned yesterday's daf carefully, so you'll know that this machlokus was already alluded to in yesterday's daf. So it's a machlokus Amarim. What does the kohen do with the kemitza if it becomes chaser between kemitza and haktara? Now, in order to appreciate and understand the next parts of the Gemara, so we go back to what we learned back in Zvachim. Machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Now we turn to animals, once again. You'll see, we keep jumping back and forth between Zvachim, Menachos. So in the world of Zvachim, so let's say you shechted the animal, you accepted the blood of the animal, and then the animal is lost, either physically or halachically. I got nothing of the animal. I got no meat, I got no chalev, I got nothing from the animal. Can you still sprinkle the blood? And so it's a machlokas hatanaim, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion, im ein basar, ein dam. Im ein dam, ein basar. Rabbi Yoshua states very clearly back in Zvachim that in order to sprinkle blood, I need meat. There has to be in other words, the blood is a matir, and there has to be something that it is matir. You need it to be matir something. So in other words, there has to be meat. And in the absence of meat, you cannot sprinkle the blood. That sheet is Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says that, no, you can sprinkle the blood even if there is no meat. Meaning if all you have left of the animal remaining is just the dam that you were already makabel, so go to the mizbech and sprinkle the blood and the owner gets a check. Even though there's no longer any meat or there's no longer any chalef. Give me a second. So that's the machlokus over there in Zvachim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. And so now, this is very similar.
It's not the same, though. Rabbi Yoshua, only part of it.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent observation. The Gemara is going to come back to that in just a little bit later. Okay, so over here it's very similar. So when the kemitza is done by the kohen, so that's basically now, and in this analogy, so it's basically now the kohen having the blood in his hands. And so now, according to Rabbi Yoshua, well, if I have no more meat, so you can't sprinkle the blood. And according to Rabbi, and seemingly, now Hedi's point is coming up later in the Gemara. So for now, just for now, I'm ignoring it. So, and it's going to come back later. And so according to Rabbi Yoshua over here, if I'm missing any of the mincha, well, you can't do the kemitza, seemingly. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, no, you can sprinkle blood even without the meat. So over here, do the kemitza, even though you lost some of the shirayim. Okay? So, aliba de Rabbi Eliezer kuleyam lo pligi. So the Gemara says that within the position of Rabbi Eliezer, so there's no debate. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Yoshua. The debate exists within Rabbi Yoshua. And to clarify, the Gemara is going to speak this out. Nine. Nitmu shireha, nisrafu shireha, avdu shireha. If, let's say, either the shirayim become tameh, or burnt, or are lost. So, kemitah is Rabbi Eliezer k'shera. So, if you subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning kemitah over here, meaning if you hold like him in Zvachim, and you take that idea and you transfer it now over to Menachos, so k'shera. So, can the Kohen take the kometz and put it up onto the Mizbeach? Sure. Just like you can take blood and put it onto the Mizbeach without the basar, so too you can take the kemitz and put it onto the Mizbeach without the shirayim. And kemitah is Rabbi Yoshua p'sula. Whereas according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's disqualified. Im ein basar ein dam, im ein shirayim ein kometz. Good. Manda pasuk Rabbi Yoshua. So now, if you subscribe to the idea that's pasuk, clearly you're siding with the position of Rabbi Yoshua. Umanda machshir, but the one who says that it's kasher. So ad kan lo amar Rabbi Yoshua asam ela delo ishtayir. Ava hechad ishtayir filo Rabbi Yoshua modile. Now the Gemara says, well, look. In other words, Rabbi Yoshua takes the position in Ein Basar Ein Dam, but that means Ein Basar, there's simply no meat, nothing. But over here, we have lost a little bit of the Shiraim, but we have a lot left. In fact, the Tanya, the Gemara, the Braisa over there, in Zvachim, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol HaZvachim Shebetorah, Shinishtayer Mehem, Kezayis Basar, Kezayis Chelev. As long as you have a significant amount of either meat or Chelev, right, and by significant, we always mean kezayis, zorek. So you could do the zrika. This is all the liba de Rabbi Yoshua. Zorek adam. And if I have kechatzi, zayis basa, kechatzi, zayis chelev, and a zorek. Now you cannot combine meat and chelev. In other words, you need either a significant amount of meat or a significant amount of chelev, and I can't take two halves of the two and put them together. So zorek is adam. Uva ola filu kechatzi, zayis basa, kechatzi, zayis chelev. Now when it comes to carbon ola, I'm allowed to combine basa and chelev, but for a very simple reason, because they're both going up onto the Mizbeach. Zorek es adam, mesha ba'ola, kula kalil. It's all going to get burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, so therefore, that you can put together chelev and meat, and as if you have a gezayis of the combined total, that would be fine. And then the Braisa ends off with a line which is hard to understand, but if you go back to Zvachim, and you remember, as we learned this back in Zvachim, we dealt with this line, and we're going to deal with it here as well. Uve mincha, afapisha kula kayemas lo yizrak. Now, when it comes to a mincha, so even if it's kula kayemas lo yizrak, now mincha over here cannot mean mincha. Can't. This is a braisa about zvachim. It's not a braisa menachos. And the Gemara asks now, as we turn to the top of Tesamud Beis, mincha maya vinate, what is mincha doing over here? So, and it's zrikas hadam. Like, what are you talking about mincha over here? So Amar Papa Minchas Nesachim, it's talking about Minchas Nesachim. Sagad Achamino Ho Vahadi Zevach Asya Kigufei De Zevach Damya, and the Havamina is like this. Look, when I have Nesachim coming and accompanying a carbon, so now you could, it's an attachment to the carbon. The argument you may have wanted to make is, look, if I lost the entire carbon, I have all I have left over is the blood, and I also happen to have the Nesachim. Oh, so you know what? The Nesachim is like part of the carbon, right? And so I know I have none of the carbon left, but I still have the Nesachim. So can't I treat the Nesachim as part and parcel of the carbon? And therefore, according to Rabbi Yeshua, wouldn't that entitle me to now sprinkle the blood? And the answer is no. I mean, that's a Havamina, and the Maskana is no. That's right, Kamash Malan. The Chiddush is no. I mean, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Basar. I need the actual part of the animal, because that's of the animal. Okay, now Amra Papa. Sorry, I just read that already. Let's go further. Uman de pasal shani hacha damakra. Now the one who says that it's kosher, meaning he can argue. Look, I agree with Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says that if I don't have any meat, so I can't sprinkle the blood. But over here, I just lost a little bit of the shirayim. It's different, right? Like had expressed a couple moments earlier. On the other hand, however, the one who says that's pasal, even though it's chaser, and even though I still have a good amount of the shirayim left over, but it, by menachos it's different. Why? Shani hachid yamakra veherim akawim min amincha es azkarasa veiktir hamizbecha hamincha ad asya lekula mincha lo yaktir. In order to do the kahaktaras hakometz, the burning of the comets, I need the total remainder of the shirayim. If I have any amount of it that is deficient, it no longer is a mincha. This idea expresses itself a number of times. We're going to see this a number of times. Here's just a wonderful example. Where by a mincha, it's unlike an animal. An animal's an independent unit even before it got into the Beis HaMikdash. So you could talk about now kezayis of an animal. Kezayis of meat left of the animal. By the mincha, it only becomes a unit because I put it together in a bowl. So in other words, with the mincha, if any of it now is missing, so I no longer have the mincha. Good, that's great. But in other words, it still only attains the status of mincha when all of it's there, meaning any part of it missing, no longer mincha. You can argue the point, in which, by the way, the Amoraim obviously do, but now at least you're just expressing this idea that by menachos, the bowl putting it together actually creates it as a unit. Any part of it gone missing, that's it. It's and it should contradict it? No, but...
Isn't that,
if it's that's your kovar, the mincha, right. So it's there, but the problem is that the kmitza hasn't yet been burnt. And so now the kmitza hasn't been burnt, the kmitza has to be burnt over the shirayim. And the argument that Reish Lakish is making, Reish Lakish. The argument that Reish Lakish is making is that if any amount of the shirayim now goes missing, it's no longer considered mincha. In other words, that now that small deficiency removes the entire status of mincha.
Is that what I assume? If you have the animal coming complete, you say you cannot change the animal. The animal is coming in one unit. So when you have the mincha coming in a measuring place, and then you put it inside a new kometz, it was a unit complete. So you have to compare it.
Okay,
to
fine.
It.
So again,
the Gemara... After Shechita, part of the animal taken away.
Okay, look, the Gemara is going to argue the point as well. So in other words, there's not one side to this. But I'm just explaining the position of Reish Lakish. The Idach, and now what Rav Yochanan would counter and say is no. Mina mincha, the Torah does say mina mincha, but mincha shayis akvar. And this fits in better with your point. Meaning it wasn't, right, correct, it was a mincha. Okay, right now it's missing a little bit, but it was a mincha at the time. Okay. Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So here, a challenge, and this is good chazar because we saw this all of yesterday. We're talking now about the Lechem Apanim. And the crumbling of the bread of the Lechem Apanim. So Ashlo Pirka, let's say before the Lechem Apanim was taken down, then that of course means that the Bezichin are sitting on the very top, and the Bezichin are the komets of the Lechem Apanim. So Ashlo Pirka, Nifras Lechem, the bread starts crumbling. So HaLechem Pasul, the Ein Maktir Alas HaBezichin. So now it's disqualified, and you do not burn the Bezichin over this Lechem Apanim. V'im Shiparka, Nifras Lechem, and if let's say after you take the bread off, which means now, that the bezichin are in your hands, so alechem pasul, the lechem is pasul, umakir alav, it's a bezichin, and you burn the bezichin. The amar of Elazar lo pirka mamish, now over here, when we say the bread taken off, we don't actually mean that the bread has to physically be taken off the table. As long as it's time to take the bread off the table. Elakevich gives manala farek, vafa pish lo pirka. And in yesterday's daf, we described how that is the beginning of the seventh hour of Shabbos, meaning afternoon. So that's the time where the bread's to be taken off. So under those circumstances, even though it wasn't physically taken off, so it's ki'ilu, we look at it as if it's already been taken off. And what we've just learned together in this brisa is that that over here, clearly it has hit a point of chaser. It has hit a point of chaser between the kmitza and the haktara, and meanwhile, you do burn the bezichin, meaning, and again, the bezichin is the komets of the lechem apanim. So even though it's chaser, you still burn it, and this would seem to once again support the position of Rav Yochanan. Amarle hamani Rebbe Lazar, in counter-argument, you could say, hey, you know that mishnah belongs to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Meaning, as we just learned over the course of the last number of minutes, machlok shin Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yoshua, and we could say that is going like the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar does not need any of the lechem upon him to be left over. So the Gemara says, "Amale ana amin lecha mishnah shlema varmar liat Rebbe Eliezer." Look, I'm giving you a mishnah, and now, in order to defend your position, you have to tell me that a stam mishnah is going like Rebbe Eliezer. That's difficult. And e Rebbe Eliezer, my ear yenifras. And look, if that mishnah is really reflecting the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. So come on, let's go. Bring us all the way to the logical conclusion according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the biggest chiddush, afilu sarav alva nami machshir. You could lose the lechem upon him. You could, excuse me, lechem upon him could be burnt, and it's still going to be kasher. So ishtik. So okay, in other words, it's hard to counter these arguments because you're right. If the Mishnah, in fact, is going like Rabbi Eliezer, and I don't need any of the lechem upon him in order to burn the bezichin, so why are we talking about a little crumbling? Let's go. Burn the lechem upon him. Destroy the lechem upon him, and I could still burn the bezichin. So v'amai shasek lemelait zibur shani. So the Gemara says, now, I do have a suggested defense for Reish Lakish, meaning maybe over here, it's not a mincha of a yachid, it's a mincha of a tzibur. And that gives us allowance, it gives us room to be mekel. Why? Well, we know that when it comes to a carbon seabor, so there are allowances regarding tumah. Under certain circumstances, a carbon seabor can be brought in a state of tumah. So if there are leniencies regarding tumma, so maybe we could be lenient regarding chaser as well. So Amar Vada Barava Zosamersa Chisarn Kabal Mumdame. So the Gemara says, I don't really love that defense. When your mincha, when your shiraim is chaser, so we're going to treat that like a blemished animal. V'ein balmum, v'ein balmum b'tzibur. Does it say the word bal twice? Okay. V'ein balmum b'tzibur. And balmum we know is a non-negotiable disqualification. Meaning that an animal that's a balmum, under no circumstances can it be brought as a karban.
After Zika become Balmum, what happens? Because this is after Kemitza we are talking
about. Okay, fine. But in other words, the Balmum is not there's no allowances for a Balmum to be offered as a carbon.
No, after
the right, no, I understand.
After
but
Kabbalah? If after Kabbalah the animal becomes
right, I hear your question. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But the point the Gemara is making is that the idea of a mincha being chaser is to be treated like it is physically blemished, like a physically blemished animal. We know there are no dispensations, there are no allowances regarding that, so neither is going to be allowances regarding chaser. So this idea that we're trying to advance, that it's a carbon seabor, right, we could be more makel, the Gemara says, yeah, you could be more makel by tumah, but you can't be more makel by chaser. Okay, let's just quickly recap. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots. Let's quickly recap. Today, a discussion about doing the kemitza and a shechita of a carbon shlamim in the heichal. And in both occurrences, the Gemara says it's fine. It's certainly not recommended, but it would be okay. And the various arguments that bring us to that conclusion. Three machloks in between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. One, on the topic of doing the belila outside of the Azara. Rav Yochanan says it's possible. That's the accepted position. Two, the mincha that becomes chaser before the kemitza is done. So Rav Yochanan says that's okay, just replenish it, because when does the kvias happen? Only at the point of kemitza. Which is, again, that's the accepted position. And three, what if it becomes chaser between the kemitza and the haktara? So again, machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says, you're still going to be machter the kometz. And as we just pointed out, that position seems to be the most, the best supported position.